Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning. Welcome to worship. I have to say, if I was a Calvinist, you all would be God's elect. That's all I can say. You are the faithful to be here at 8 a.m. in the midst of 43-44 degrees, whatever it might be outside. My name is Reverend John Reynolds. It's good to be with you in worship. I hope that as we sing together and pray together, that the sun will come up over the ridge and we'll all feel God's warmth as we gather together this morning for worship. As we worship together this day, I want to let you know that the theme of this day will be about prayer, which maybe these cold temperatures are helping your prayer life. Maybe you're experiencing God's grace in the midst of this morning. We're going to be talking about how you use your spare time, how it is that you take the time that God has given you and receive it as a gift, and how you might be using some of that time to pray. This morning, worship is going to be led by Susan and Eric and Mike, and we give thanks for their gifts that they've continued to share with us in worship as we gather here today. Also want to let you know, if you haven't had a chance, there are a couple of QR codes over on the Welcome Center over there as you gathered in worship. If you'd like, you can take a picture of that QR code and sign in to worship this day. I believe after worship, if you'd like to stick around for a couple minutes, we'll have an opportunity to pack sandwich bags for the NOAA project. So we encourage you, if you have time, to pack some of those bags. We're packing about 300 of them for our brothers and sisters in Detroit. As we gather, I hope that this service touches your life and makes a difference in your life as we celebrate God this morning. Let us worship God together this day.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Loving God, we come before you this morning with praise and thanksgiving. Open our minds to what you might share with us. Open our hearts to your love and enable us to love you in a new and more profound way. Open our spirits to the joy that can only be found in you. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. This morning's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. It's great to be with you this morning. As we gather for worship, as we turn our hearts and minds to the scripture passage, thank you, Chris, for reading the Lord's Prayer for us this morning. We'll be praying the Lord's Prayer in a minute, or after the sermon here. A familiar scripture. This week, we're continuing our sermon series on screen time. During the week, we're not only stopping, this week are we stopping to pause and ponder about how we're using our screen time, our technology time, but we're also evaluating how we're using our time in general. You know, what gets our minutes? What gets our focus? How is our time used throughout the day? Perhaps you found some of your time being spent recently something like this. Imagine your time being spent like this. It's the middle of the night, and you've been tossing and turning for what feels like hours, turning over and over and over in your bed like a rotisserie chicken from Kroger. You just can't get comfortable, and you can't seem to fall asleep. You just have way too much on your mind. Has this been you before? Has part of your time been spent like this? Perhaps you're worried about your kids or your aging parents. Maybe you're worried about the global pandemic or a financial situation. Maybe you're worried about what you're seeing on TV. Maybe you're worried about the news. Maybe you're worried about a conflict you have with a friend or a loved one. And as you toss and as you turn, trying desperately to get back to sleep, you roll over, reach over to your bedstand, grab your screen, take a look and see it's still the middle of the night. Has this been you before? Can you relate? What wakes you up at night and keeps you from going back to sleep? I've talked with a lot of people recently, and they can all relate to suddenly waking up in the night with these fears or their worries. I've heard stories of sleepless nights and nights and evenings and days filled with anxiety. You're not alone if you've felt this recently. So what do we do? When it's the middle of the night, we can't go back to sleep and something's weighing us down. Or what do we do when our day is filled with worry? In addition to the Lord's Prayer, I want to turn our focus this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. We're going to hear a teaching of Jesus. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow? They do not spin or labor, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will you be clothed? Oh, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Perhaps you've heard this scripture from Matthew's gospel before. Perhaps you've taken great comfort in this scripture. I certainly do, but for a worrier like myself, telling me just not to worry isn't going to necessarily work. I'm pretty good at worrying. I think I'm one of the best. It's a gene I inherited. It's passed down from generation to generation. So when we turn to the scripture this morning and read from Jesus' teaching, telling us not to worry, is it really that simple? During the day, or if you find yourself awake at night and you're worrying, you might find it helpful to turn your worries into prayers. It's so easy to lift up those worries, to say those things that are on our mind, but maybe we should think about turning those worries into prayers. Prayer is really all about having a conversation like God, with God, just like a conversation between any people. There's both talking and there's listening. Prayer gives us that opportunity to share our joys, to share our concerns with God, but also gives us a chance to listen as well. There's a lot of ways to pray, from the Lord's Prayer that we heard this morning Chris sharing with us, or just simply saying, "God help," or "God thanks," or "God wow." There isn't really a right or a wrong way to pray. There's numerous ways. There's centering prayers. There's all sorts of ways. But it can be helpful to learn some new ways to pray. And when we pray, it's not just important to express our joys and our concerns to God, but it's important to listen for God's response as well. Too often we get caught up talking, and we forget to do the listening, all the while wondering why God hasn't responded to our prayer. But in our listening, God will provide the wisdom and the guidance and the direction for us to follow. In our listening, God will guide us along the right path to take. with those gentle nudges along the right way in the right direction. It's the Spirit of God working in our lives through prayer. As God hears our prayers and responds, God also asks us to do something as well. It's not just about a conversation back and forth, but God wants us to be a part of answering the prayer, a part of answering the prayers for other people. We have a role to play in answering the prayer. In our listening to that still small voice from God, we need to be in tune to what God is saying, but then be ready to respond. We get to be a part of taking action and listening and answering that prayer. What do I mean? Well, I want to tell you a little story to help us understand it. So there was a terrible storm that came into a town, and local officials sent out emergency warnings to the riverbanks that they were soon going to overflow and flood the nearby homes. And everyone was ordered in the town to evacuate immediately. Well, there was a faithful Christian man who heard this warning and decided to stay, saying to himself, I will trust God, and if I'm in danger, then God will send me a divine miracle to save me. Well, the neighbors came by his house and said, hey, come on, we're leaving. There's room in our car. Please come with us. But that man declined, saying, I have faith that God will save me. As the man stood on his porch with the waters rising, a man in a canoe paddled on by and called out, hey, hurry, come join my canoe. The waters are rising. But again, the man said, no, thanks. God will save me. The flood waters rose higher and higher and higher, pouring into the man's living room. And so we had to retreat to the second floor. And pretty soon a police motorboat came by and saw him at the window. We'll come up and rescue you, they shouted. But the man refused, waving them off, saying, use your time to save someone else. I have faith that God's going to save me. And the floodwaters rose higher and higher, and the man climbed to the top of the roof. And then finally a helicopter spotted him and dropped a rope ladder, and a rescue officer came down that ladder and pleaded with him, just grab a hold of my hand and I'll pull you up. But the man still refused, folding his arms tightly to his body. No thanks, God is going to save me. Shortly after, the house broke, the floodwaters swept over the man, and he passed. And then up in heaven, the man stood before God and said, I put all of my faith in you. Why didn't you come and save me? And God said, son, I sent you a warning. I sent you a car. I sent you a canoe. I sent you a motorboat. I sent you a helicopter. What more were you looking for? When we turn our worries into prayers, we must not only be willing to do some talking and listening, but we must be ready to listen for God's response too. And as God responds to our prayers, we must be willing to be a part of answering that prayer and taking action. God sent the car and the canoe and the motorboat and the helicopter, but the entire time, the man forgot to follow God's leading, insisting that God would save him, but God was trying to save him. But he forgot that he had a role to play in answering the prayer. People all across the nation have been impacted by flooding. From floods that took place in Midland this spring to hurricanes and storms most recently, there's been natural disasters that have captivated our attention, made us worry, and reminded us of people that are in need right now. Not only the floods, but the wildfires as well. In response to the floods and the fires, we are given opportunities to respond. We can be a part of answering prayer, to step up, to show love, to extend care. The United Methodist Committee on Relief is one way in which we can extend such care and answer so many prayers. The United Methodist Committee on Relief works in response to natural disaster. Through our giving, through our donations, we can support people who have been impacted by the floods, been impacted by the wildfires. Maybe you'll consider being a part of a prayer and answering a prayer today and giving to AMCOR. When we find ourselves worrying, it's not just about turning our worries into prayers, but it's also about trusting God. In turning our worries into prayers, we have to be willing to trust God. Do you ever find it really hard to trust God? Do you ever find it really difficult to trust God? Sometimes it can be hard to trust God because people in our own lives have harmed us or hurt us when we thought we could trust them. Maybe a friend or a loved one let us down, making it really difficult to trust other people. Trusting others can be difficult. We each have wounds we carry or burdens we carry or scars that we know, but trusting God is different. God has a really, really good track record of being trustworthy. God always has been, God always will be, and God always shall be someone that we can trust. We have a biblical record of God providing in the midst of scarcity or crisis or failure or despair. We also have our own stories of God providing. And if that's not enough, we can look at to the birds and the lilies of the field, just as Jesus described in Scripture. Even the birds are taken care of by God. This morning, I'm also reminded of the Jeremiah 29:11 Scripture. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God is a God that we can trust. God has our best interest at heart. This morning, as we heard that Lord's Prayer scripture, this prayer, it challenges us to trust God more fully as we begin to look at those words. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," it's a prayer trusting God that each day God might provide. It's about trust. When we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," it's a prayer trusting God that God's will might be done, not necessarily ours. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," it's a prayer trusting God that we might experience and know God's kingdom here on earth, not the kingdom that we might try to build up or establish on our own. God is a God that we can trust. God is a God that has our best interest at heart. I'm also reminded of the scripture passage, a story from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. It's the story of Jesus walking on water. He's out in the night, and the scripture goes like this. It says, "Immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side. He dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountainside to pray by himself. And when evening came, there he was by himself alone. But by that time, the waves were battered as far as could see. And early morning he came walking towards the disciples out there on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, thinking it was a ghost, and they cried out in fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, do not be afraid, it is I.' And Peter said, 'Well, Lord, if it's really you, command me then to come out onto the water.' And Jesus said, 'Well, come.' So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on water. He came towards Jesus, but then he noticed a strong wind and he became frightened, and Peter began to sink and he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus reached out his hand towards Peter and caught him and said, 'Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?' And the wind ceased. When the disciples saw Jesus there walking on the water, They thought he was a ghost. And immediately Jesus responded, reassuring him he wasn't a ghost. It was, in fact, Jesus walking there on water, taking a shortcut, I think, to reach him out there on the boat. But Peter wanted proof. He wanted proof. So Jesus invited him out to start walking, and getting out of that boat, he was walking okay, but then he began to sink. What happened to Peter? Did he lose his faith? Did he lose his belief in Jesus? Did he lose his courage? Did he lose his belief in himself? I think he'd lost his belief in himself. He had the courage at one point to step out of the boat, but then he started to lose his faith. He started to lose his trust in God. Sometimes trusting God requires us to step out on faith. But it also requires us to trust ourselves, too. When Peter was stepping out of the boat, Jesus was right there to catch him. When he started walking on water, Jesus was right there. When he started to sink, Jesus was right there. No matter if you feel like right now you're walking on water in your life or if you feel like you're sinking, Jesus is right there. We can trust him. So as you take an account of your time and you find yourself worrying a lot, let's remember that God is a God of universe that is trustworthy. He cares about us deeply. He's got our back. He's in our corner. We can trust God with our prayers. We can trust God and have the courage to follow his leading, even if it's through crazy situations, by stepping out on the boat and walking on water. And may the worries that keep you up at night or surround you during the day, may they be turned into prayers. May you know that the great God of the universe hears those prayers and answers when we call out to him. Amen. Today's theme helps us to focus on prayer as a spiritual practice. I find it useful and interesting at times to change up how I pray. Maybe you've tried this too. When I walk my neighborhood, I pray for my neighbors as I pass their houses. When I get impatient standing in line at the store, I remember that each person in my view is a child of God, and I ask God to bless them. When I walk through the woods, surrounded by the trees, immersed in God's creation, my ears are filled with the songs of birds or frogs or bugs. I give thanks. We are taught to pray without ceasing. I invite you to lean into that creatively. I invite you to find something right now in your view that is a creation of God. It may be something outside, like a tree or a bird. It may be the person sitting next to you or the coffee in your cup. Take in that creation, hold it in your mind, keep your eyes on it, or close your eyes and hold that thing in your mind for inspiration. Let's pray. Lord of all creation, we are in awe of your world. We thank you for the living gifts you placed here on earth and the beauty you create. Help us to always remember that we are stewards of your creation. When your creation hurts, you are hurt. When your creation sings or blooms or grows or forgives, you rejoice. This morning we hold tight to your word as we are reminded to stay in communion with you through prayer. May our prayer today include a blessing for the trees. Trees that provide shelter and shade. Trees that are used for construction and decoration. And we must also pray for those thousands of acres of trees and homes out on fire out west. Lord, we pray for those communities and people who have lost their homes, loved ones, and yet still are struggling to put out those fires. The haze that reaches across our country reminds us to pray. We pray a blessing on those who are affected by Hurricane Sally, another storm affecting our neighbors to the south.
Lord, guide us in the ways that lead us closer to your vision and promise for this world, a world where neighbor cares for neighbor, and trees and rain and weather are signs of hope, not destruction. May our prayer today also include a blessing for all people. For each of us is created in your image. Help us to treat one another as your beloved children. When we can pray for each other, regardless of our differences, then we grow closer to you, God. We especially lift up our brothers and sisters who are sick or alone, scared or stressed. Bless them with your healing and comfort. We lift up the teachers, the students, and parents. We lift up the leaders in our church, in our community, and in our country. We pray that the reconciliation that Jesus promised in his death and resurrection will blanket our words and actions. Each day, Lord, help us to step forward in faith and love toward that peace that comes from living out your will. Now, as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his followers, we hold tight to your creation and your promise of hope. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This fall, as classes are starting back here at church, as prayer groups are meeting, and UMW circles are meeting, and Bible studies are starting, we want to pause for a moment to acknowledge our leaders, our teachers, our Bible study teachers, our UMW circle leaders. We want to take a moment to pray for them. So if you are one of those leaders, I invite you to wave a hand, and we're going to be praying this day. All right. We're going to be praying for you this day as well for all of our teachers. Let's lift our hands in prayer for these leaders this morning. Oh, holy and loving God, you are a good teacher, guiding us along the way, helping us to know you more and experience your grace. And this day, I give you thanks for all of the teachers of our church, people leading prayer ministries and Bible study and small groups, women leading United Methodist women's circles. God, in all of these ways, people are growing in their knowledge and their love and their service towards you, God. I thank you for the time they share, the energy and passion from which they lead, the lessons they prepare, the conversations they facilitate, the investment in the community that they lift up. We pray for our leaders this day that the days and the weeks and the classes and the time yet to come, that it might be fruitful, that you might guide them and direct them. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
This time in the service, we have an opportunity to respond to the ways in which God has been active in our own lives. There are a couple of baskets over at the welcome table, and we encourage you as you exit the worship space, if you are part of this church, if this is your spiritual home, we invite you to give generously so that the ministry here at this church can continue to be fruitful and touch the lives not only of us, but all those who are affected by the storms that Lindsay mentioned in their lives. Let us give generously in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Church, as we think about how we're using our time throughout our day and throughout our week, does worrying get a lot of our time? And if so, this week, may we be challenged to turn those worries into prayers, to listen to God's leading and to trust in that leading. To trust, like Peter, to have courage to get out of that boat, to trust, but know that if we do start to sink, Jesus is reaching out and catching us. He's right there. May we have courage to trust this day. May we have courage to be a part of answering the prayers for others. Go forth with the love of God this day, the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you. Go forth to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.